Well, this morning, I would like for us to return to our study of the book of Jonah. And I would also like for us to go back to where we left Jonah there in chapter 4. So Jonah chapter 4, which of course is the last chapter of this book. And here in chapter 4, we considered two Sundays ago, where after one of the greatest spiritual awakenings probably in the history of this world, we saw that something was still missing in the life of Jonah. There was something missing in his heart. The compassion that God had for the people there in Nineveh, Jonah did not have. So what was Jonah's reaction to all of this? After seeing and hearing about this revival, this great awakening that took place in Nineveh, look at verse 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, I don't know about you, but I read those words with wonder and disbelief. I can't believe Jonah would say that to God. After all that he'd been through, after God's own deliverance and rescue from the bottom of the sea, and after all that he had seen there in Nineveh itself, it just seems so incredible that Jonah would be angry to God about something so miraculous as the great awakening and the revival that took place in Nineveh, and something so wonderful. But yet, before we condemn Jonah as such a hard and a heartless person, I think it would be helpful for us this morning to see ourselves in Jonah. It's so easy for us to condemn others when we see the hardness of their hearts and the callousness that they might have. And yet, if we put ourselves in their condition and in their shoes, I think it's helpful for us to see what God is speaking to us through these words. What we're going to see this morning is another great theme in the book of Jonah. A theme that we can call the Jonah cycle. Now, we all know what a cycle is. Not a bicycle, but a cycle of something that is here one day and then comes back through another day. There's business cycles in the world. There's economic cycles. I guess there are bicycles too. But there are also spiritual cycles, aren't there? And I believe that we can see the attitudes and actions even of Jonah cycle through, not just in his life, but also in the life of every believer and every Christian before God. And I believe if you're honest with yourself, you're going to see a cycle like that of Jonah's life in your heart and in your life as well. Perhaps more often than we'd like to admit, this cycle takes place. So this morning we're going to look more closely at this Jonah cycle, and perhaps you're somewhere in this cycle today. But through this, we're going to see some important truths. The first truth is this. The first truth that we will see is the great changeability of believers. The great changeability of believers. You see, one of the great lessons from Jonah is that people change, don't they? We saw a change in Jonah. We saw a change in the sailors on the ship. We saw a change in the Ninevites. But you know, even God's people change. Not always for the good. Sometimes even they fall back and fall away. So we're going to look at some of the great changes that took place in the life of Jonah, changes that you might be in your life, changes that are part of this Jonah cycle. The first thing that we see in Jonah's life is that there was a time of great faithfulness. Now, we left Jonah here in chapter 4 of the book of Jonah, but do you remember at the very beginning of our series through Jonah, do you remember where we first met Jonah? It wasn't this book. In fact, if you see on your message guide there, it was there in the book of 2 Kings. That's where we first met Jonah and learned a little bit more about his life and ministry before this book takes place. If you keep your finger here, let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 14 as a review and a reminder of the life that Jonah had before the book of Jonah. Here in 2 Kings chapter 14, it's describing what is going on in the life of Israel, the nation of Israel, and especially under the rule and reign of King Jeroboam II, who was also a wicked king. He also displeased and disobeyed God. But if you go to verse 25, we meet our prophet. We meet Jonah. In fact, in referring to the king, King Jeroboam, there in 2 Kings 14:25, it says that he, Jeroboam, restored the coast of Israel. Now that's a good thing. The people of Israel had lost some land mass, some land area, and here, through Jeroboam, they were able to restore it. To restore the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath under the Sea of the Plain. But how did this come about? According to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of who? His prophet Jonah, the son of Amittai. So the same Jonah that we have here in the book of Jonah is the prophet that God spoke through, Jonah the son of Amittai, the prophet which was of Gath-Hepher. Here in 2 Kings, we first meet Jonah as God's prophet to his own people in Israel, and it is here, in this verse, where Jonah experiences his first mountaintop experience. Now, you might have heard that term, a spiritual experience as a mountaintop. And maybe there's been a time in your life where you've experienced that, where you felt closer to God than you ever had before. Where as you open up the Bible, it seemed like the words of God were life and breath to you. Where you wanted to spend time with God in prayer. You wanted to tell others about Jesus. And you felt like you were so close to God. A mountaintop spiritual experience. And that is what Jonah was experiencing there in the book of 2 Kings. Here Jonah, on the mountaintop of spiritual experience, was serving God. In fact, he was serving the Lord faithfully. Which we see there in verse 25. The word that God had given Jonah to speak, what did he do with it? He didn't hold it to himself. He actually shared it. He spoke it. He obeyed God. And then God blessed him with success. The Lord blessed the word that he gave Jonah, and Jeroboam the king was able to restore much of the land that they had lost. And so what we find here in verse 25 of 2 Kings 14 was a time of great faithfulness in Jonah's life. He was serving God, and he was successful in his service before God. And perhaps you remember a time like that in your life, or maybe you're living in a time like that in your life today. You feel as if you are enjoying God, and you are glorifying God in your life. You are serving Him with all your heart and all your soul, and it seems like and it feels like God is blessing you beyond measure. Do you realize that success in the Lord's service really is a great experience? It's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful thing to possess and to experience in your life. It's a mountaintop. But when you're there, you must never forget the Lord during those times. Because all too often, those spiritual mountaintops can quickly lead to those spiritual valleys as well. Which is exactly what we see next in the Jonah cycle. Because after this mountaintop experience of faithfulness to God, serving God and being given success by God, guess what happened next? Let's go back to Jonah chapter 1. There was also a time of great failure. You see, he didn't give God the credit and the glory for the success that he had experienced in his ministry as prophet. And so when God came to him there in chapter 1 of Jonah, guess what happened? Jonah fell into the valley. We're reminded of this great failure right there in chapter 1. Even though Jonah had experienced great success, he fell hard. And he fell far. We see the disobedience of his fall there in verses 1 through 3. Again, familiar words, and we're going to spend time today reviewing through Jonah to see this cycle at work in his life and then to compare it to our own life and see the kind of cycle that takes place in our life. From faithfulness to God to failure. Great failure to God. And this disobedience, again, there in verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. This happened there in 2 Kings, and he did obey God. But now, what happens? He fails. The Lord says in verse 2 to Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." A very clear message, a very clear command. But verse 3, But Jonah... rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah fell, and great was the fall of Jonah. He fell through a great sin against the Lord, and that is why we are constantly reminded through Scriptures that we must take heed lest we fall. If you're on a mountaintop experience and you're enjoying your fellowship with God, you must remember to give Him the glory and Him the credit, or you too will face the danger of falling into the valley of despair like Jonah did. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth there on the mountain take heed lest he fall." If you're there in that faithful mountaintop, you need to remember who put you there, because even believers, even the strongest believers, can fall and fall hard and fall far. In fact, we see a little of the depth of his fall in how he kept getting deeper and deeper in his heart and life against God. In fact, there's an imagery going on in this chapter where he goes down to Joppa. He goes down to the ship. He goes down into the bowels of the ship. And he remains there, hardened by his sin and rebellion against God, until God gets his attention, doesn't he? There in chapter 1. We know how he does it. He does it through the storm. And then he uses the sailors to point his divine finger into the heart of Jonah to say, "You are the man." In fact, look at verse 7 of chapter 1, where all the sailors said, everyone to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil, this great tempest and storm is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And so during all this time, he was in the valley of sin. He had failed against God. And that was his time of great failure. Do you realize that believers still sometimes fail and fall in this way too? And maybe that's where you're at in this cycle. Perhaps you have fallen and failed the Lord through disobedience. And you should not be there in this valley. In fact, you do not need to stay there in this valley. There is hope even for someone who finds themselves in this part of the Jonah cycle. Proverbs 24:16 says that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And we're going to see what happens next in Jonah's cycle. That can also happen in our life and in our cycle as well. If you have fallen and you have failed and you have disobeyed before God, God can still raise you up. And that's where we find the next event in the life and cycle of Jonah. And that leads to a time of great faith. Even as the Lord got the attention of Jonah through the storm and through the sailors, Jonah finally returns to the Lord in faith, in great faith. In fact, look there in verse 8 of chapter 1 through verse 10, where it says, the sailors say unto Jonah, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is your country? What people art thou?" And listen to these words of identification, these words of faith. Before, Jonah was saying, "I don't want anything to do with God." And now he's saying, "I am belonging to the Lord." He says in verse 9, "Unto them I am an Hebrew, and even though I have fallen greatly, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah finally returns to the Lord. He remembered that he belonged to the Lord. He said, "I fear the Lord." And do you realize if you have failed God and you have sinned against God, you too can return to the Lord at any time. What do you need to do? Remember that you belong to Him. You don't belong to your sin. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to this world. You belong to the Lord. Remember you belong to Him, and that you can trust Him and you can believe Him. And you can believe the promise that He made to His people, that He can forgive you and has forgiven you and cleansed you of all of your sin. You can return to the Lord in faith. In fact, we also see evidence of repentance in Jonah. Jonah finally repents before the Lord in verses 11 and 12. "Especially when they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, Jonah, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous," still going on. And Jonah, showing an evidence of repentance in his life, said, "Take me up. Cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is come upon you. Even though Jonah returned to the Lord in faith, he also knew that his sin against God was great, and every sin is. So he also came to the Lord in repentance. What is repentance? Well, part of it is being willing to suffer whatever punishment comes your way, whatever consequence you are due for the sin against God and the rebellion that you had against Him, even to the point of dying and drowning in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. What we find in Jonah is evidence of true faith and repentance. And Jonah was willing to say, okay, God, though you slay me, yet I will trust in you, just like Job. And we find a time of great faith. You know, even though your fall into sin may be hard and far, you can once again return to the Lord. How? The same way Jonah did. The same way everyone does. Through faith and repentance. And when that happens, something else you can enjoy in this Jonah cycle is this. You can enjoy a time of great fellowship. Because even after Jonah was tossed into the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, Jonah eventually enjoyed fellowship with the Lord in the most unlikeliest of places. Where? In the belly of that fish. In fact, look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And you know what Jonah was doing toward the end of those 3 days and three nights? He was experiencing the closest communion and fellowship with God. And that is what God was after to begin with. There was a renewed communion with the Lord. He communed with God through prayer. And we read about this prayer in verses 1 through 7 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. But then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. What communion! What prayer! In fact, this prayer led to a renewed commitment to the Lord in verses 8 and 9. He says, they that observe lying vanities or idols are forsaking their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, because salvation is of the Lord. There, in the belly of that fish, Jonah was enjoying some sweet communion and fellowship with the God who had put him there. And even though he might have thought for a while that this womb, this belly of that fish was a tomb, God was actually using that to prepare Jonah for something greater. Do you realize that it was this type of fellowship that God desired with Jonah? And it is this kind of fellowship that God desires with you. And even in the most unlikeliest of places, God may put you for a time not just of preparation, but a time of communion and fellowship with Him in prayer and through the ministry of His Word. That's what God desires. And even through that fellowship, He is often preparing you for what follows. What followed in the cycle of Jonah? Well, when we come to chapter 3, we find another time of great faithfulness. Another mountaintop experience. I mean, he was as high as he possibly could get there in 2 Kings, and then he was brought to the lowest point, even to the bottoms of the earth. And now God sets him again on a rock. He sets him on another mountaintop experience. In fact, God showed Jonah that he was not through with him yet, because we read in verse 10 of chapter 2 that the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. And now Jonah was ready once again to listen to the word of God. And what was that word? Look at chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah that second time, saying the same words. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. But this time, what did Jonah do? Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Amazing. Not only did Jonah listen to the word of God, now he lived out the word of God. And the rest of chapter 3 shows what God can do through just one of his servants being faithful to the word of God. A great awakening took place. And we spent some time looking at that great awakening. But after seeing and hearing the great awakening in Nineveh itself, you would think that Jonah would stay up there on that mountaintop, wouldn't he? I mean, imagine if you were there. You were in the depths of the sea, and God delivered you. And now you went to Nineveh, and you see an entire city come to know the Lord through your word, through your testimony, through your message. What an amazing thing. But where did we leave Jonah in chapter 4? We left Jonah in a time of great failure once again, a time of great fickleness. What a fickle man Jonah was. Look at verse 4 or verse 1 of chapter 4 again. After all this, after all he saw, after all he heard, after all that he had gone through, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry at God. Now that is an unstable, erratic man. And it is unfortunate that this is where we leave Jonah when we come to the end of this book. Fickle and still failing the Lord. But that's where we come to the end of that cycle. Started at the mountaintop, fell down to the valley, went back to the mountaintop, went back into the valley. This Jonah cycle didn't just happen to Jonah, though. It is a cycle that happens to every believer. Do you see yourself and Jonah in one of those elements of that cycle today? Even as a Christian, the cycle can lead from faithfulness to failure. From mountaintop to valley, from obedience to disobedience, where are you at? Or then from failure, after God gets your attention again, to renewed faith and fellowship with Him, is that where you're at? Or maybe from that faith and fellowship to faithfulness once again, serving God and enjoying His fellowship. But then, we ought to take heed lest we fall back into that failure and fickleness of sin. How often do we change? Don't we? But don't be discouraged. Because this cycle takes place in the life of every believer. Not just Jonah, not just you, not just me, but every believer. But we don't have to be discouraged or distressed about this, because there is something. There is rather someone greater than your failures and your fickleness. And this is what we need to focus on, which Jonah did not. You see, the solution for your changeability and my changeability is this. Number 2, the constancy of God. God is constant even though we change. Even though we go through that cycle, sometimes multiple times in a day. Yet in spite of our changeability, God remains constant. As God Himself states in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Jonah changed a lot. You and I change a lot. We go through that cycle over and over and over again, yet God changes not. And even though the book of Jonah highlights Jonah's cycle, from faithfulness to failure, from that failure to renewed fellowship, and from that fellowship to renewed faithfulness and back into that valley again. Even though the book of Jonah highlights that cycle in the life of Jonah, it also displays in even greater way the immutability and constancy of God, even when we are so unstable and unfaithful to Him. Now, we may change. We may leave this place on a spiritual high. We may leave today and feel like we're on the top of a mountain, but then we go home and we're tempted and we're tried and we're challenged, and then we fall back into that cycle over and over again. But you don't need to be discouraged or distressed, because you don't need to remain in the bottom part of that cycle because of the constancy of God. And your heart and your life doesn't have to rest in your whims and in your will and in the changes of your life. Your rest can be in the constancy of God. Because in the book of Jonah, we see some things that never change in God. We see that the character of God never changes. What is His character? His character especially of holiness. God is a holy and a righteous God, isn't He? In fact, the angels in Isaiah 6:3 tell us, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." God is a holy God. He is a thrice holy God. He is holy and righteous and perfect, and He, as that kind of God, cannot tolerate, cannot condone any sin. Not one sin can enter into His presence. And this constant character of holiness is also clearly seen in the book of Jonah. We start out in the book of Jonah and realize that God cannot tolerate sin even in the world. That's why God sent Jonah to Nineveh in the first place. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 2, where God tells Jonah the first time, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Why? "For their wickedness is come up before me." God is a holy God, and He cannot tolerate sin in any place and in any people, especially the people of Nineveh at this time. And it was because of their sin and their wickedness that God was going to judge them and even destroy them if they did not repent. But we also see from Jonah that God, the holy God, cannot tolerate sin even in His own people. Which is why in chapter 1, verse 4, after Jonah disobeyed, what did God do? Did He say, "Okay, that's fine, I'll let you do what you want"? Well, He did for a little while, but then, verse 4, "The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken." Why did God send that out? To get Jonah. To get Jonah. Why? Because he had sinned. God, who is holy and righteous in His character, who stays the same, cannot tolerate sin even in His own people. And that is why God was after Jonah, to chasten him and correct him from his sin. God is holy. His character never changes. And God must deal with sin. And that is why if we are in the valley, if we are in that spiritual low place, if we have defied God and disobeyed God, guess what? We must not stay there. Because God will deal with your sin. But do you realize that even though God's character never changes, you don't need to despair when you are in that valley, when you experience that sin? Because something else we see in Jonah, something else that is constant about God, is this. The compassion of God never changes as well. He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. Lamentations 3, 21 and 20 through 26 says this. "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Yes, God's character of holiness is constant, but God's compassion is constant too. And we see in Jonah His compassion to the sailors. There in Jonah 1:15, when they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea ceased from her raging, didn't it? And even though those sailors were idolaters, even though they were praying to false gods, God showed them compassion. He showed compassion to His prophet, there in chapter 1, verse 17. Even though Jonah had disobeyed a direct command of God, what did God do? The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Not as a punishment, mind you, but as a deliverance. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. God showed His compassion to Jonah. He showed His compassion to the Ninevites there in chapter 3, verse 10. Even though their wickedness before God was great. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. God saw their works of repentance and faith, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented or relented of that evil, that judgment that He was going to perform on them, that He said that He would do, He did it not. There's something that is in common with all of these people. Not a single person deserved God's compassion and mercy. The sailors didn't because they were idolaters. Jonah didn't deserve it because he disobeyed God. The Ninevites didn't because they were wicked before God, but God chose to grant them His compassion because that too is part of His character. Isn't that amazing? God is merciful and His compassion never changes. In fact, Jonah even recognized this in chapter 4. Look at verse 2 or verse 3. This was Jonah's reason, remember? Why he didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place? Because of something he knew about God. For I knew that Thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. You see, the compassion of God never changes. And when you are in the pit or the valley of sin and despair, you can trust in the compassion of God. It never changes. We further see that the calling of God never changes. The calling of God never changes in Jonah or in your life as well if you're a Christian. There's something we learn from Romans 11:29 that says this: for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, when God makes a call on someone, He doesn't take it back. And even after everything Jonah had done, why would God show His compassion to Jonah? It's because Jonah was God's man. Jonah was God's man. How did he become God's man? It wasn't so much that Jonah had chosen God, but that God had chosen Jonah. God had called him to be His prophet, to be His child. He had called him, and that calling was without repentance. And even though Jonah fell hard in sin and fell far in sin, it was still a man of God, a man who belonged to God. And He said, I'm not going to let you go, Jonah. Oh, no, you don't. I'm not going to let you stay in that valley. Rather, God would chasten Jonah and even show compassion to Jonah because Jonah was His man. Now, this was not because of anything good that God saw in Jonah. You know why God chose Jonah? Why God called Jonah? Because God wanted to show His goodness to Jonah, just like He wants to show His goodness to you. And you know what that is? That's grace. That's grace. God choosing and calling you. In spite of me. What I've done in the past, what I do now, what I do in the future. You can be encouraged, even if you are in the valley of that cycle. If God has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, because you know what that means? You belong to Him. God's not going to let you go. No matter where you are in the Jonah cycle, He cannot let you go. You see, God's calling on a believer's life never changes. And that's why Paul can say with confidence in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God and you are somewhere in that cycle and maybe in the bottom regions of that cycle, guess what? God's not going to turn you away. God's not going to let you go. He can't, because you're His. You're His child. He called you, and His calling is without repentance. And you may not feel and enjoy the finger of God on you, the chastening hand or the correction, but that's because God wants you to come back up the cycle and enjoy that fellowship that even Jonah had for a time. But another thing that we see about God that never changes is that the course of God never changes. The course of God never changes as well. What is God's course? His course is one of salvation and deliverance. Listen to Isaiah 45:21. God Himself tells us that there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. A just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. There's no other God like this. Look at the God of the Muslims, Allah. He is no Savior. No, the God of Jonah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of this Bible is a Savior as well as a just God. And the course of God never changes. The course of deliverance. How do we know this? Well, just from the book of Jonah, God sent His prophet Jonah to deliver some people. Who? The Ninevites. And His course, God's course to deliver the Ninevites, would not be thwarted or frustrated even by the failures of Jonah. God was going to get this message to the Ninevites one way or another. Why? Because the course of God never changes. God sent Jonah to Nineveh because of His grace. Another way that we see this is that God sent a fish to deliver His wayward prophet Jonah. Even when we had failed and sinned against God, God sent that fish to Jonah, not because He deserved it, but because of His grace. The course of God, the course of deliverance, never changes. But do you remember who Jonah pictures there in the belly of the fish? Remember Jesus Himself in the Gospels said that Jonah is a sign. And the life and ministry of Jonah is a sign that points to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the course of God never changes. God sent Jonah to deliver the Ninevites. God sent a fish to deliver Jonah. And God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us from our faithlessness, from our failures, even when we're in the bottom of this Jonah cycle. And it was Jesus who could do this perfectly. We know that Jonah was not a perfect deliverer for the Ninevites. It took him 2 tries. It took him to the bottom of the sea. We know that that fish was not a perfect form of deliverance, and the fact that Jonah didn't stay and could not stay in the belly of that fish. That fish had to vomit him up on the ground. But do you know that Jesus is the perfect and faithful deliverer of us all? And that is why it says in Hebrews 13 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Because the course of God, this course of deliverance, never changes because Jesus never changes. Even the fish that God sent to deliver Jonah could not hold Jonah in its belly forever. But if you are in Jesus Christ, guess what? No matter where you're at in the Jonah cycle, whether you're in faithfulness or failure or in fellowship, whatever, no matter where you're at, God will never let you go. You're still in His belly, so to speak. Jonah 6:37, Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Jonah couldn't say that. The fish couldn't say that. Only Jesus could say that. And that is why when you see yourself in Jonah, when you see how often you change and you go through this cycle yourself, what should you do? You should look at the unchanging, constant God that you serve. The question I want us to think about this morning as we finish is this: does God have your gaze? Does He have your attention? Does He have your trust? No matter where you're at in that Jonah cycle, look to the Lord because He never changes. Even though we are changeable, even though we go through cycle and cycle perhaps many times in a day, Jesus never changes. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. He's our deliverer. Look to and look at your unchanging and constant God because He's the only one who can break that cycle in our life. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this broad theme that we find in the book of Jonah, this Jonah cycle. And Lord, I know this cycle is not just reserved in the book of Jonah. We see it in the book of Judges. We see it all through the history of Your people in the Old Testament. But even in a more fresh and real way, we see it in our own lives. We see that cycle over and over again. And Lord, we're sorry. We know that the mountaintop is where we ought to be, and yet we so often live in the valley. Sometimes we do so because we like it down there. Oh, Father, I pray that You will grant us that repentance that we need that will stir us up so that we will see Your constancy. We will see Your faithfulness and realize that, yes, I am so changeable. I am so unfaithful. I am so fickle. And yet You are so immutable and changeless. You are so constant. You're constant in Your character. You're constant in Your compassion. You're constant in Your call to us. You will never let us go. And You are constant in Your course to deliver us. And Lord, I pray that even though we sometimes do get discouraged through this cycle, I pray that we will never take our gaze and eyes off of our constant God, because your course will bring us to the point where we will be delivered from this cycle. Where someday in the future, in heaven itself, we will be on the mountaintop with you in fellowship forever. So Lord, I pray that we will see ourselves somewhere in this Jonah cycle today. Perhaps we're in those doldrums. Perhaps we're in that valley. Perhaps we have failed. And perhaps we've rebelled. Oh Lord, I thank you for your constant compassion that woos us and draws us back to yourself. I thank you for your constant call that shows to us that you will never let us go. And I pray, oh Lord, that we will respond to that. That, Father, we will come to you in humility and faith and repentance, even as Jonah did in the belly of the fish, and come to you for that sweet communion, even in the unlikeliest of places, so that we can be restored. Restored to that time of faithfulness in our life, where we can serve you faithfully. We can enjoy that fellowship with you once again. I pray, O Lord, that that cycle, even though it may occur in our life, that those times of faithfulness and those times of fellowship will grow longer and sweeter with every passing day. And we thank you that you make it possible through our constant, faithful Savior and deliverer, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our fish, and yet I pray that we might remain in his belly, that we might remain in his bosom, that we might realize that he will never cast us out. Oh Lord, so I pray that we will never want to be cast out. I pray, O Lord, that we will remain with you and trust you and rest in you and look to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.